Dive into the thriving local arts, entertainment, and food scene with coasting editor Jerry Boggs and his guests. Let us be your guide to the creative South Coast.
All right. Welcome, everyone. I appreciate you joining us for another Coastin' podcast. Thanks for coming in on a nice sunny day. It's finally spring in New Bedford, so we're all feeling a little excited about what's to come. And you all are going to talk about one of the more fun festivals we're having in town. So I can just kind of go around the room and let you all introduce yourself. Chuck, do you want to?
My name is Charles Houck. I'm a founding member of Gallery X. We've been in New Bedford since 1990, and we moved into the first unit, Versalist Church on William Street, and we've been there since 1995.
My name's Kevin Mitchell. I am the artistic director of The Collective. We are a theater and performing arts company that runs out of Gallery X.
And my name is Lee Heald, and I am the director of AHA, and we've been working with the Upper William Street Festival since it began.
Thanks, everybody, for coming in. And we are going to talk about the William Street Festival, and this fall will be the third year, is that correct,
for
the
third
William
year.
Street Festival?
Third year.
Talk a little bit about when the origination of the William Street Festival, who started this and why, and what the kind of the overall goal of the William Street Festival is, because it's not just let's all get together and have fun, although that's the good part.
But we hope we do. We hope we do.
But there is an underlying cause for the city of New Bedford behind it all.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I think originally the idea came up. Karen Anderson is the minister at the First Unitarian Church, and she's been a good friend. She was one of the original Gallery X members when we opened, and we've long sort of talked about closing down William Street, doing some sort of festival, and with her actually active in the Unitarian Church, and then with the plans for the First Baptist Church, your theater, we thought, you know, we all have events, different things going on. We thought, you know, maybe if we all collaborated and closed the streets and had a festival, we could, you know, if each group organization sort of takes care of what they do in-house, we can kind of have a good variety of things and, you know, just have an interesting. And also, I think these buildings, they're all historic churches. Just incredible treasures, landmark buildings in the city, and they all need maintenance. I mean, they've all got issues, but that's minor to what they offer. And we wanted to, you know, with the events in there, we want the community to get inside there, because often there's people don't want to go into a church, or if it's not their religion. So. If it's not a religious function, sort of, people will just come in and see the buildings, learn about their history, hear some music, see a theater production, I think that basically was just a sharing of the culture and art of the city, I think.
And we did lose some pretty historic churches in that area, did we not? Kind of up on the hill. I've seen the pictures from, you know, 100 years ago, and you would see these skyline-dominating buildings, and then people say, oh, that's not there anymore. And I know we don't want to replicate that.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting, because when you think about the historic district of New Bedford, the current historic district is kind of down the hill towards the waterfront, so it really talks about whaling and the early economic life of New Bedford. But as New Bedford prospered, it kind of moved up the street, so you get the mansions on County Street, and you get a diversification of religion. So the Unitarian Church came from the Quaker Meeting House, which is just on the other side of Union Street, and you get a variety of sort of social networks. And most older cities, a lot of the core architecture in the downtown area that stays with us is really communities of faith. And so these structures don't necessarily have the congregations and the support that they had in, you know, the 19th century or early 20th century. And so I think it's really up to us to think about, if we're going to be in the city and live in the city and really think about neighborhoods, what are the purposes and kind of what's the support structure for these physical places now so that they don't disappear.
Yeah, and I was thinking when we started this festival, it was right around the time that we moved into Gallery X when we started. And I remember when we were looking at spaces to use to rent, we were telling other people that we were working with. We did the E4All program. We were talking to some people and mentors there, and they were like, you really should be downtown. And we're like, yeah, we're looking at Gallery X. And they're like, no, but you should really be downtown. And I'm like, but it is downtown. And for some reason, there's a dividing line, like kind of right where the New Bedford Art Museum is on that road there, that people don't seem to think that that the downtown crosses that line. But it does. Like, there's some great stuff up the hill, and I think that this festival does one really good thing, which is get people up the hill a little bit to know that, like, it does expand beyond there. And there's some great architecture up there. There's some great galleries. Mary Steam Cheeseburgers is up there. Everything's up there. It's, like, there's things going on up there. So getting people further up the road from the water. It's like another revitalization, like you talked about, how a downtown has kind of spread up the hill. It did that back in the day. We're just trying to promote that again now, just kind of pull that culture, that business, all that foot traffic just a little bit more up the hill.
And it's, you know, one of the things that I love about this is the partnership. You know, we've had a lot of stories about the St. Mary's Church in Fall River and the millions of dollars of repairs it needs and what the questionable future of these places are. And as congregations do shrink, I think New Bedford and the cultural organizations should be commended for finding ways to use these historic, beautiful buildings to bring a new sort of congregation, for lack of a better phrase, in. And, you know, First Baptist is the one that leaps to mind because we were pretty close to losing it, were we not?
Very close.
Your theater and Whale have done a fabulous job working with the city. They've just gotten some Cultural Preservation Act monies. They've really stepped up and been thoughtful as well as smart about how to use the supports that are available to really bring that space into public use and a public awareness. And on the other side of Union Street, the New Bedford Historical Society is really working to think about Abolition Row Park and Abolition Row. And then the James Arnold Mansion has just become a nonprofit, and they're really looking at how to reestablish the gardens. And so that whole area is really thinking about kind of what's its, you know, highest and best use as we go forward, which is exciting.
It is exciting. And so, you know, the Collective and Gallery X and Chuck, you can talk a little bit about the last couple years of the festival and what do people expect? What are you going to do?
Well, I think the festival, I think we really want to sort of highlight the fact that New Bedford was given, you know, claimed, or someone had done a thing and claimed it was one of the most creative cities in the country, which is, you know, from where it started, you know, that's quite a feat and something we should be proud of. And there it is, a city that's full of working artists. It's a great place to make art, but it isn't really the best place to, it's not like Boston or Providence that things sell. So, but it's a great place to work. And because we're closing the street for the festival, we thought that, you know, we really want to kind of invite the community, a chance for people to meet the artists, see what they're doing, and for the artists to meet each other. I think that's important. For us, we're all collaborating together. We're forming friendships and meeting people we didn't, and seeing artwork and being inspired. And I think that, I guess, since inspiration is basically, I think, what we're looking for.
And great music.
Yes, we've got a great lineup of music and free, as long as you register ahead of time, free space set aside. You have to have your own table and clean up after yourself. But we want people to make money, too. We don't want people to spend $100 for a table and get everything, you know, and then lose money. If you come for free, if you sell one thing, you know, that's great. If you don't sell anything, well, You're not out, but you met some people, and people met you, and I think that's our goal, is really to bring the community together. It's to see these wonderful buildings and just sort of celebrate the community and with music and food.
So what we'll have is like what you'll see specifically, there'll be crafters with their craft tables out. There'll be some live music that'll happen right in front of Gallery X in their little courtyard there. I'm bringing in, we did this last year, and I think it's really good, like Chuck talking about bringing other artists together. We had some live painters. So some of the guys that are doing Super Flat, actually, some of like the urban artists and graffiti artists and street artists that we do have, and this city is really big on that. There's a lot of good street young artists that come out of here. And for me, what I've always thought is the old saying, like every man's an island. Every artist thinks of themselves as an island. Their art is their art, and it's so protected, and they're so afraid to share it sometimes, even with other artists, that a festival like this really bridges that gap. It bridges that gap generationally and just with the artists in general, because I've started telling friends, they're like, I go up, oh, we're up at Gallery X, and they're like, up there? Like, I don't know if I want to go up there. Like, they've been doing this for a long time. What if they don't like my art? I'm like, they're not like that. It's a nice, welcoming area. And so we try to get those people together. So having like the young street artists come and work with the other older established artists, that's the word I was looking for. Did not mean older. Sorry. Established artists out there, we're bridging these gaps that have kept these artists apart for so long. And the bigger the community we can have of this congregation that we're starting. Like you said, a congregation has kept these churches and this infrastructure and these buildings alive for so long that congregation has gone away, so we need a new one that's going to take care of them. And that's what we're trying to build, I really think. If we can get these people, because I've seen it happen. I've lived in Williamsburg in Brooklyn before it's Williamsburg in Brooklyn. I was in Wicker Park in Chicago before it was Wicker Park in Chicago. You know, I saw these places go from like really nice artistic communities to all of a sudden the rent's too high for anybody to be there. And so if we're not going to look out for the buildings that we have now, and these buildings are going to go away, it would be sad to see the architecture go away, but it'd be even sadder to lose that place where these artists can go and have a creative space. And so if we can all band together through a festival like this, we can band together in other ways too.
And New Bedford has a history of festivals. So when I first came, people were talking about the Center Street Festival, which was gone by the time I came to town. And that used to be on Center Street, and that was kind of the beginning of thinking about the historic district as, you know, a place that was going to be restored and would attract people. And, you know, and the Center Street Festival grew into Summerfest, which was downtown for years and years. And then Summerfest kind of shifted and went over to the New Bedford Folk Festival, now mainly around the Z and that area. And there have been other festivals that are kind of modeled on that festival. And so this is kind of, I think, a fresh start, really looking at the energy that started the Center Street Festival in a different area. And so the question is, will people come together to really think about this area as the next kind of neighborhood emerging in New Bedford, because there's such good energy around it and there are reasons that it is a great place in a way that Center Street in some ways doesn't need this kind of help anymore. It is established, it is solid, it is known. And it is now part of a historic district that protects it. And so I think one of the things that festivals and the artist energy bring is kind of that cutting edge of development. It is the edge of the spread that you just sort of think, oh yeah, here it comes. In a wonderful way, in a really wonderful community edge way. There's energy going on in the north of New Bedford now. There's some stuff with the new Blue Way Walk in the south of New Bedford. And so I think that this is kind of, as you think about downtown as kind of established and known, and there are a lot of different projects going on, this is one of those kind of awareness opening up to what is kind of the next piece that will connect, and who knows how it's going to connect, and who knows kind of what it's going to be. But it is a day of huge and amazing fun, and the weather has been fabulous. The South Coast Brass Band was there last year, leading people. We have stuff for kids and families. There's some food available, or bring a picnic lunch. You can set up your chairs in the street and listen to the music. I mean, it is just, it's kind of, you know, you kind of bring to it what you want to see from it.
And it's also like kind of an open house atmosphere too. Like a lot of people haven't, so many people come see a collective show and they've lived in New Bedford their whole lives, and the first thing they say when they walk into Gallery X is, I've never been in here. And I'm like, why? But so this is kind of that too. You get to see what these churches and these buildings do on a day-to-day basis. You can come in and you can see a gallery at Gallery X. That night we're holding, the collective's holding a 24-hour production. It's a 1440 project, we're calling it, where everything is written, rehearsed, produced, and performed within one day. So you'll get to see maybe some of the rehearsal process if you're there during the day, and if you come at night, you'll get to see the show. I know the Unitarian Church last year did some coffee house style music with their open mic, and they do that coffee house all the time. That's a really well-known coffee house, not just in the city, but like in a coffee house circuit that goes all through New England. People come from all over to go there.
TriWorks, I think, for 50 years or so.
TriWorks, yeah, it was quite some time.
That's one of the fun things about this festival and about you know, Gallery X specifically, and you know, when your theater moves permanently up to the First Baptist Church, it does feel like a reflection of the community, because it is all things. It's creative people being creative, not painters making paintings or sculptors making sculptures, or
it's public art.
Actors
it's
making
interact.
Theater.
Yeah.
It's everything's thrown in together, and let's see what fun we can have. Let's see
right.
what we can make, and what we can learn from each other, and what we can teach each other. And that's the one thing that the William Street Festival, I think, is not, you know, it's not a street art festival, or, you know, a place to go buy paintings, or a starving artist festival. It is a community festival that's centered around the arts, and I think that's really a lot of fun.
A lot of the people who have booths are local nonprofits. So the New Bedford Whaling National Historical Park has come each year. The Art Museum comes up and does projects. The Public Library came last year for books and book carts. There are communities of faith who come and bring, you know, tables and just talk to people about different things going on in their church. I mean, it is kind of all of the sectors of the society.
Yeah, it's like a microcosm of everything that we have going on downtown. From the arts, from the businesses, from the nonprofits, from the public, things like the library, all those things. And then, it, like you said, it's just kind of a celebration of that. We get everybody together and we just celebrate how wonderful it is.
You'll become aware of great things that are going on around the city that you had no idea about, you know, and great people doing it. And that's like, you know, you just go, oh, what are you doing? And then you're like, wow, you guys are doing this. It's like, I always thought somebody should be doing it. We've been doing it all along, you know. And I think that is important. That,
and I think we may have kind of buried the lead here, but it's growing this year. Is that correct?
Well, this year we are, we're also going to close down 8th Street from William to Union. So we're actually just about doubling the space for crafters and nonprofits, and this way we can better include the Unitarian Church. And also there are businesses, some great restaurants on Union Street right there. Mary Steenberger has been a huge help to us. Last year she was giving away free hot dogs, and we really want to bring her some business, because she's been nothing but an angel for us.
An angel with tater tots, which is the best kind of angel.
Can't beat an angel with tater tots.
And then people will get to see more about the Unitarian Garden. They have a wonderful labyrinth and garden that's a wonderful urban garden that people really don't attend to as they're passing by and turning, you know, in their cars on Union Street. So it's kind of a nice time to sort of think about the footprint of that place. You know, I mean, it's kind of...
And we'll have a local favorite musician or a comedian, Vinnie Lovegrove, and the Toe Jam Puppet Band is a big popular group with kids, and they're coming this year. They had another event last year, so they couldn't make it, and we really, you know, for kids, we missed that void. So this year, he's going to be there. Zane Morrissey, Matt Morrissey, I talked to him, so that they're planning on being
Morrissey
there.
Morrissey Boulevard.
Morrissey, which is Matt Morrissey, his group is the Wind Power or the Wind.
Matt used to be head of the New Bedford Economic Development Council. His father. He works with the immigrant assistant, and they're just a great local family, and their kids are brilliant musically, but it's a whole different kind of audience for the music and the production. And Chuck, there have been some wonderful of the traditional favorites with the Jethro's and
the hot cheese roll.
Hot cheese roll, yeah.
Suitcases, were they there last year?
The Jethro's.
Jethro's, yeah.
The moldy suitcases.
Moldy suitcases, there you go.
And I think Chuck Smiler, I think I think his chorus, the Wailing Chorus, is going to be there.
Oh, the Sea Shanty Chorus?
The Sea Shanty Chorus. Nice. So it's, yes, a big mix of music and entertainment and theater. I think your theater is going to be doing some...
Right.
Some scenes from there.
I don't think people realize that Spinner Publications is on that street also.
Oh, yes.
They're about to publish their blue collar history book about New Bedford, and so they are right in that whole area with all of their publications.
So, and one of the things you said earlier, you kind of referred to the idea of New Bedford's a great place to make art, might not be the best place to sell art. And that's an interesting statement that I've heard other people make. But this is a great opportunity for artists to get their work out in front of a lot of people walking around in the right frame of mind to say, hey, I'm going to take something and hang it up on my wall. I want to bring home a piece of New Bedford. I want to bring home a piece of you and keep that forever. That's a really great thing.
We wouldn't discourage if someone wants to bring a painting or two under their arm that they want to trade. You know, that's fine. We want people to see what each other's doing. What's art is not about, you know, art, you know, it's a creative thing that you do, and it's does no good in your closet or your basement. You know, bringing out
the business plan of this is not really about the festival making money. So we do not charge, we do not have spaces, but the idea is that people get to share, and if they want, sell or trade their own art. We've gotten great support from the New Bedford Local Cultural Council to underwrite the cost of paying musicians. We've got some corporate support, and so that piece kind of goes away for us. So it's kind of an open exchange. It's not a monetarized festival.
And the underlying mission is awareness.
Awareness.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very important what you said, like the mindset of like buying art. It's not about just buying the art. It's about taking home a piece of New Bedford, in this case, a piece of a local artist. It's supporting that. It's like, but we have to adjust people's mindsets when they come and they look at art. They're not to see it as an investment in a different way. They're not investing in the art. They're investing in the city. They're investing in a local artist.
Well, no, it's all investing in their own experience.
In their own experience. Yeah.
And with the churches, I mean, a lot of times it's just getting through that door the first time. You know, you get in there and then you're like, wow, this isn't so bad. And then you see what's going on, that you see that there's programs or there's some art show or there's a musical thing or different things, you know, that you'll come back or when that church is doing a fundraiser, well, you know, I love that building. I might reach in my pocket, and I think the more that people know about their history, the more we're going to work hard to save it. You know, a lot of these churches and these old buildings, they've been closed for so long. We really don't know their history, and it means nothing to us. But if someone tells you about it, and you're like, on this spot, this happened, or so-and-so was here, you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you don't want to lose that. You want to be able to tell your kids that story, you know.
And I'm sure getting people in the door is also a hurdle that the gallery faces. Because people think, oh, it's an art gallery. I can't afford anything in there. It's an art gallery. I'm going to break something. It's an art gallery. That's not really my thing. But there's so much going on. There's so many things. I mean, and you know, one of the things that we try to do in Coaston is have some of the art and say, okay, it's not all classical paintings of you know, an apple or a still life or Venus on the clamshell. But it's, you know, fun stuff. It's whimsical stuff. It's pop art. It's performance art. It's theater. So
it's very much like, for me, I grew up in New Bedford in Fairhaven, and this has been a big part of my life. And when I moved away, I always wanted to come back and start a company like the Collective here. And then finding Gallery X was a blessing for us because it gave us a space, but more than that, it gave me more of a history lesson on the people that had come before me, the people that established this, the people that just people like Chuck, people like Gallery X, the people who have been down here putting their blood, sweat, and their tears and their passion into what they do and into this city for so long that for me it was eye-opening, even as much as I was felt I knew it and I knew downtown. And then I come down and I meet people that have been putting art up for decades, way more established artists. It's everybody can benefit from it. And the thing about like going into a gallery is nobody expects you to buy anything. These artists, like Chuck said, like it's not worth having it in your basement or your closet. Like they put it up for you to come see it, and that's really what they want. And with the performance end of it, we're happy that we can have when we do one performance a month for 10 months, one production, sometimes multiple days. And when we have 60 people come to a show, I'm just as proud to show off the gallery as I am to show off our show, because people don't get to see that. And I feel like we're opening the doors more to people because they're like, well, I do, like, I'll go see a show or I'll listen to some music, I'll see a band. And then they come in and they're like, oh, I didn't know that this would be the type of gallery. Where's the still lifes? Where's the, like, oh, no, this gallery is called the Urban Decay. It's pretty awesome. And then people love it, you know, so it's they get to come back.
The thing about Gallery X also is that Gallery X is a cooperative gallery. So it's a membership gallery. It's not like a commercial retail gallery, although art is made and sold. And so it really has a different relationship to the community, I think, than, you know, like a store. And so there's a lot of heart and soul in what you see. And there's a lot of relationship in that building. And I think that relationship kind of starts to move out with the Upper William Street Festival.
I think one thing that we did that probably helps to not bring people in is with our name, Gallery X. I mean, we thought, oh, that's a great name. And we that was because of location. We were in between the YW and the Z. So we said, even though that doesn't exactly work out, but so we're like, you know, we were calling ourselves the Spring Street Art Alliance, and it was just too teetotaler, we're in between the Y, W, and the Z, Gallery X, so that works. But I think there are people that are afraid, you know, to go in there. Do I have to take my clothes off? You know, we have to deal with that. But that's all right. And, you know, we don't mind if people take their clothes off.
No shirts, no shoes, maybe some services.
Yeah. Moved into the building. It's been all restored by our members. We do fundraisers to tackle each project. We've just finally just received money from MCC for the first time to help us with the roof and gutters, which is huge.
MCC is the Mass Cultural Council, and it was through the Cultural Facilities Fund. Is that right?
Yes. And also with Tony Cabral. I think Tony said to them, he says, they hardly ask for anything. We give them nothing. He says, you're going to find some money for Gallery X. And they did help us out. So we're happy, and we're on to the steeples, the next thing. And then, you know, there's always something in the way. We've come a long way, and it really has been a community effort. Kevin is running to be our next president, and I think he would be fantastic. But we meet, we vote on all the issues, and whatever we have to do. Every January, we close the place down and we paint the complete building upside down. So we painted that building, you know, five times a year for the last 20 some years. So yes, Home Depot sells a lot of paint.
Spot brought to you by.
Yeah.
One thing that I was kind of double back on, you talked about kind of coming to a festival like that or meeting established artists, and you know, I kind of referenced, not to make it about me, but I remember the first time I met a working artist, and I was in high school. I grew up in a very economically depressed area in eastern Kentucky, and everyone worked in coal. You know, that was it. That was the only thing to do. And so then I met a guy who was a photographer, and I loved taking pictures, but I didn't really think, oh, you could be a photographer. Who pays you to do that, you know? And so I think...
That's still a good question, by the way.
I think as a... and hence I'm sitting here today, years later, because yeah. I wanted somebody to pay me to take pictures. But I think it is really important for young people, especially in economically developed or depressed areas, to meet working artists and people who are struggling and scratching it out but making a living and selling their stuff and chasing the dream, to say, yeah, you can do this. This is a life path for you to take, and you can be successful and you can have fun and you can live your dreams. Because if you don't meet those people, it's hard to do that in the abstract.
And it's really therapeutic, too. Like, for me growing up, like, I was always a writer, and I would always write things, but it always kind of made me feel crazy. Because none of my friends were really doing it, and it wasn't anything that I shared with anybody. But I would pay, an unmentionable sum of money to have back the things that I wrote when I was, like, 12, 13 years old. But I got rid of them all, because I didn't know anybody like that. And so when you can bridge the gap, like, you know, it goes from, like, a child to somebody a little bit older than them, to that teenager, to a young adult, from a young adult to an established artist, to somebody, like, to the chain of that, like, if there's a break anywhere in the chain of that, we're losing artists along the way. You know, they might slip through the cracks. That kid who can write but never had anybody to share his writing with, that young adult who wanted to make that next step into maybe I'm going to try to figure out more about this, to never meeting that established artist who showed him that this can be done. It is about bringing the community together that way. Lee's done a great job with AHA that way. I feel like you go around and you see all these things as a kid that inspire you and just maybe tick something in your head that goes, you know what, I'm going to look more into that. And when you get older, you do.
And I want to give a shout out. So at the top of William Street is the Rodericks Building for the New Bedford Public Schools. And this past May, on AHA night, they opened up what is the largest K-12 school art show in the Commonwealth. It's about 3,000 pieces of school kid art. And there were probably 5,000 people, parents, kids, groups coming through. And they each year feature a local kind of nouveau hip, tacky, chic local artist. So this year it was Ben Gilbarg and the Hip Hop History Kids. It's been Jeremiah Hernandez. It's been Tracy Barboza. I mean, they're really kind of the youngest group of new generation of New Bedford artists. And they speak to the kids to really inspire the kids. And because we're not all going to be professional artists, but I think that each and every one of us has some piece of creativity or gift to share. And so part of it is about the unbroken chain, so that you feel good about your voice and your ability to be creative and to participate. Even if you're not going to be the photographer who gets paid for that, you get a piece of that feeling about being someone who's going to produce and be appreciated. It may not be your living, but it may be something that makes your life so rich. And so I just want to give a shout out to the public schools, because I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about the creative, you know, and I got like the phrase creative community, because it does, yeah, it is its own community. It is, you know, you can mentor other people in the community that right, are not your own or anything like that. You can be inspiring or inspired.
Right.
So it's really nice. But is there anything else we need to talk about for William Street?
We need
Street
to talk about the date. I don't think I heard.
Well, I was going to go back to that. Okay. It is noon to 6 p.m. on September 15th, so you can mark your calendars for the third annual William Street Neighborhood Festival.
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday, yes. And if anybody is interested in craft tables or nonprofit tables, we're going to be setting up a Eventbrite site to register, but if you want to register now, my phone number is 508-996-9768, and just give a call.
And there's an event on Facebook that gives you information, so you can sign up to follow or like the event on Facebook if you're into social media.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you all for joining us. I appreciate you coming in, and we'll see you at the William Street Festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.